this. You don't have a nice building like this. You know, a lot of people, when we have a joint service, a joint function, they visit our church, they just say, wow, this, they really love this building, you know. Look like a, it's an open heaven. Amen? I hope this morning your heaven is open. You can hear the Lord. I'd like to share with you today in this Holy Communion Sunday, the sermons experience the reality of power of the Holy Spirit. I have been involved in networking and bring church together to pray and for the unity. So I had the privilege to interact with all kind of denomination and different theological camp. They have different position on the Holy Spirit. Okay, they feel, oh, this is this, that's that. And sometimes they label each other. They say, oh, this is evangelical, this is fundamentalist, this is charismatic, this is Pentecostal, hot type, about the position on the Holy Spirit. But today I'd like to share with you the truth. We're going to look at when the Holy Spirit arrived, when the church started, how was it? So my topics, experiencing the reality of the power of the Holy Spirit. We always mention about Holy Spirit. We mention about Him, and you know. But most of the time, we don't have the reality of the power of the Holy Spirit. Because you look at the story in the book of Acts, chapter 1 and chapter 2, and that you'll be amazed when the Spirit of the Lord is here, what the outcome will be. It's very different from the outcome we have right now. I'm not trying to condemn or to make us feel guilty, but I just want to hopefully when we study the scripture here will give us a desire. Say, I want it. Amen? How many of you need the power, need the strength? Raise your hand. You need the strength to overcome, to on top of the challenge. Amen? Life is not easy. There are many surprises. Most of the time, the surprising things are not the good things according to our perspective. I think I myself... having many projects right now. I use the name project. Actually, it's challenge. Sometimes it's very difficult. And particularly when I prepare the message like this, my challenge start to increase. You know, increase the level. I even don't know I can give the message like this. You know, our God is a God of humor. Most of the time, when you're going to proclaim certain message or try to teach people about certain message, He will let you experience first. So by God's grace, I'll give this message today. You know, when we talk about the reality of power of the Holy Spirit, the first question people will ask is, what is the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? Many people have the misunderstanding about Holy Spirit. They always think about the Holy Spirit just a power, because we always mention about the power of the Holy Spirit. So they reduce the Holy Spirit unto a kind of weird, strange power. When you say certain words, it show up and help you. No, that's not. Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. Our God is triune God. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen? He's a person. He's God. What's Holy Spirit's mission? Holy Spirit is the one who make Jesus real to you. Holy Spirit is the one to help you, comfort you, counsel you in the time of trouble. The whole world right now is in the time of trouble, right? You watch the news, not many good news. Even how positive you are, right? Like ISIS, that the way they are so brutal, you know. The U.S. State Department, they make a commercial to this way, a Muslim not to follow ISIS. In that short clip I watched, they blew out the mosque. They killed the Muslim too. This is a crazy. It's a very difficult time. But in this difficult time, we need someone so powerful to comfort you and to counsel you. Amen? You want to invest in these last days, you have all kinds of conflicting consultation from financial advisor. One say this one say another way. They say, oh, this the star will be collapsed. They definitely will be collapsed. Then you see a rise. And the next moment, it came down. We need a great one, the third person of Godhead, Holy Spirit, to counsel you, to comfort you. Because Jesus promised him, right? Before Jesus depart, he comforted his disciples. Don't be sad. It's good for me to leave. Because I will send another one with the same kind of quality like me. His name is called the Counselor and Comforter. So Holy Spirit is not just a power. It's more than a power. Holy Spirit is a third person of Godhead. And that's a mystery. Our God is different from what we thought. He's a one God with three persons. Amen? It's very hard to understand. That's why he is God. We have to receive by faith. They have all kind of illustration, try to explain how can be three person, one God. The more you look into, the more confused you become. Because one of the kind, that's God. But the Holy Spirit is God. He is helping you. Just now when we worship God right here, you know Holy Spirit is here. Holy Spirit is here right now because our brother led us to worship God, right? Holy Spirit is the one to help us to worship, to reveal God to you. You're listening to me right now. You don't think I just listen to a sermon. I want to invite all of you to open your heart and say, I'm going to listen to God right now through Joseph's message, what he tried to teach me about the reality of the power of the Holy Spirit. You don't want to waste the time. You want to have that reality, right? How can we reach the younger generation? God, give me the grace. In the Mandarin side, we have more and more Cal students coming. Many of them are coming. But they want the reality, okay? They don't want the hypocrisy. They don't want the fake. You know, we worship, we just fake. Oh, we are happy. We just emotional high only for that 20 minutes. No. We are happy and joyful because God is here. And he loves you. He solved your problem. He guides you. He delivered you. He healed you, right? And that's the reason, not because the music's good. You know, I like this kind of music. You know, it's real, make me relax. No. More than that, if you want to be relaxed, nice music, you don't have to come to church. There's all kinds of music. You turn on radio, right? The reason we are here, because God's real. How God can be so real to you? Because the third person, Holy Spirit, is with you, within you, upon you. When you worship God, in the second service, Mandarin service, I always ask them, when you worship just now, did you see God? They are very hesitant. I don't see God. Did you sense God? No, I say, yeah, you saw God. But you saw God with the spiritual eyes, not the physical eyes. That's why you can be excited. That's why you are comforted. That's why you are direct by God. Okay? This is a paradigm shift, okay? I'm going to ask that questions sometime down the road with the first service. So Holy Spirit is the one who brings the reality. He made God real to you. He made Jesus real to you. Because in reality, Jesus is in heaven right now. We cannot see him. All the story about him is in the Bible in the past. How can we know that's real? How can that be applying to us? The Counselor and Comforter come. That's what Jesus said about Holy Spirit's job, right? He will reveal Jesus to you. He will teach you all the things Jesus had taught and about him. So now I want to invite you to, we go back to the history, to look at what's happened in the past when the Holy Spirit arrived, what Jesus promised. First, I want to share with you Jesus' command and promise for his disciple. It's so wonderful. After Jesus died, he was buried and he resurrected. And the Bible says he appeared to his disciple for the period of 40 days. Isn't that wonderful? If one disciple said, I saw Jesus raised, oh, that might be an illusion. You miss him too much. Two people saw that for 40 days. And the First Corinthian apostle Paul say, appeared to so many people one time. Appeared to 500 people. Jesus continued scientifically can be proved that Jesus raised from the dead because he appeared for a period of 40 days. We think that 40 days, on one occasion, Jesus told his disciples, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. He said, John baptized you with the water, but the Holy Spirit will come and baptize you. That will be the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So in one occasion, Jesus commanded his disciples, don't leave Jerusalem. Because Jesus is going back to heaven. So where should they go? They used to follow Jesus wherever Jesus went, right? But now Jesus is gone. Where should they go? Jesus told them, don't go anywhere. Stay in Jerusalem and pray and wait. So I want to encourage all of you. This is not pressure. In the Chinese word, I say, 没有压力,只有爱的吸引力. I don't know how to translate that. There's no pressure. It's just invitational love. I want to encourage all of you, try to come to Tuesday night prayer meeting from now on. Do you know why? Because we are in the season of breakthrough. How many of you joined this 40 days fast and pray already? I encourage you, you haven't, you have the sheet, you still have how many days? You still have 23 days. I counted this. You try to participate. Actually, this breakthrough is for you. It's not for America. If we don't have breakthrough, America has no breakthrough. It's seeking the Lord together to pray, to do synchronize. We do something together. It will have breakthrough. I just want to ask those people, you already participate in this. How did you sense any kind of breakthrough or the light, enlightenment to you? Yes.
So God shed light on, I still don't know why it works, but there's plenty of examples, and Jesus himself set the example to forgive the people, of course, who are not sorry. And then I read in Amos this past week, just Amos, he was all by himself. There weren't, 100 people repenting with him. He begged God to forgive the people so he wouldn't send the locusts, and so he wouldn't send the fire to burn up their whole nation. And so God changed his mind and didn't do it. But he did send enemies to capture them. So there was punishment, but not as bad. So I still don't know why it works, but it works.
Well, maybe this 40 day you will find out. Yes?
Well, my name is Cindy. And this is first time so far I was able to keep my fast. And I thought I can never give up meat because I just love chicken and beef, and I just can never imagine I can have a life without meat. But I went to, I joined the Chinese congregation that morning, I think it's 25th, before we start. But yeah, that morning. So I read through the paper about what we are praying, and each one of them, I said, well, if this is what I have to do, forget me, right? So I started on that day. I didn't wait. I started on 25th. I didn't wait 26th. So the first 3 days was very hard because no meat, no coffee, no dessert. And so that was very hard. But 3 days, after 3 days passed, everything just comes so natural. And I was so happy. I don't have to live with meat.
I need a new mic. Even the very short sharing already show you the breakthrough. Sometimes you don't think so big, about, spiritually I'm suddenly become passionate with Jesus. No, it takes time. There's a lot of things need to be removed. Just about a concept about no meat. Or maybe some of you never can imagine, how can I fast? I cannot. I have to eat. Of course, if you have certain kind of illness, you know, I'll advise you to consult with your doctor first. But some people just have that concept, no, I can't. That itself needs a breakthrough. Why cannot? Right? Speak to your neighbor. Why cannot? With God's power, there's a lot of things you need to come out of your box. But I feel this 40-day things, I do encourage you, we still have 23 days. You can still join for your sake, also for this nation. We appreciate Marlene sent out every day. Well, I really appreciate that. But, you know, on one hand, I disagree. That's called babysitting, you know. Yeah, ours, forgive me to say, spiritually, we are so like a baby. We need people to take care of so. But on the other hand, that's the reality. So, but even babysitting, it help. But I want to tell you that Jesus told that his follower, you know, don't leave Jerusalem. Then because of time, I had to speed up fast. And then he tell them, you know, when the Holy Spirit come upon you, he give them a commandment, don't leave Jerusalem, wait for the arrival of the Holy Spirit. And then he give them a promise. He say, when the Holy Spirit come upon you, you will be my witness, a powerful witness in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, until end of the world. So how did disciples respond? After Jesus say that, you know, pretty dramatic. I saw different version of that movie. You know, Jesus went up, all kind of. But no matter how, what kind of version is, Jesus was gone, right? And the book of Acts said, they look out to the heaven. And so Jesus gone. You know, this past Friday night, we have a moon festival, right? Mid-autumn festival here, you know. Many English group people, I didn't see you, okay? So you miss a lot of good food. And I share the story about moon festival of a Chinese fairy tale or legend. It's a Chang'e. You know, Chang'e also ascend to heaven, you know. Jesus ascend to heaven. The Chinese tale also, she ascend to the heaven because she ate the pill of immortality. So she's like, ascend to heaven. But difference is, Chang'e ascend to the moon. Jesus ascend to the third heaven. That's a very different. And the difference is Chang'e is just a legend. It's never occurred. But Jesus was real. And he ascended to heaven. When all the disciples look out and say, wow, wow. And the angels say, why did you stay here to watch Jesus? You have something to do. You have to move on. Because Jesus who left you, he will come back again. Dear brothers and sisters, he's come back soon. Are you ready for him? The Holy Spirit speak to the Church of Jesus Christ on earth through the prophetic voice, all kind of say, Jesus is coming back. So Jesus already commanded them, give them promise. So how did they respond? In my message, the second point, they obey. They obey and they trust. They went back. They went back to Jerusalem. They went to an upper room. Actually, I went there. Based upon my tour guide, I went to Jerusalem. They said, this is the upper room. The 120 were there. They were praying. That's when the Holy Spirit arrived. It wasn't a big room there. I went there, and I saw a group of Korean believers there. They were praying so loud in tongues. They want the Holy Spirit to fill them there. You know, they're excited. It was the day of the Pentecost when the Holy Spirit arrived there. So this group of disciples went back. They were not 120. They were 11 plus some women who followed Jesus, plus Jesus' mother and Jesus' brothers. When I read that, I'm so excited. Jesus has such powerful impact. By the time he completes mission, his brothers were convinced and follow him. Isn't that wonderful? Anybody say amen? Amen. His brothers follow him. His brother became the disciples. And also with his mom. Wow, Jesus must be a good son. It's very, you know, the most difficult people to reach is your family member. Not because Jesus, because us. We have shortcoming, right? When I read that, I'm so excited. Wow, the first group on the day of Pentecost, Jesus' mother was there. Jesus' brothers were there. They used to ridicule him, particularly his brothers. And then they were together. And they pray and wait importance this in one heart. A lot of time we come together to pray, we pray with divided heart. A lot of time we come together to pray, our prayer is not prayer, our prayer is criticize our brother and sister. Did you hear that kind of prayer? The Lord help him to fast and pray. He's too fat. No, you don't say that, but you imply that. Lord help her. She loved the world. She saw Korean opera all the time, 韩剧. She didn't come to the prayer meeting. That's not prayer. That's accusation. That's condemnation. Or husband and wife pray, right? The most common. I can ask the angel to reveal that record. Reveal the people. Angel can show you what they recall about people's prayer, particularly couples' prayer. Lord, may you bless my husband. Make him a godly man. That's the good part. The bad part is help him to be more organized. Clean out the house. Be sensitive to his spouse's needs. Wash dishes. Take care of children. Don't just watch TV or what glued to the internet. That's not a prayer in one heart, right? That's a what kind of prayer is that? Convicting prayer. Convict other people. It doesn't work. Do you think that work? Do you like to pray with someone like that? They always just point out your problem and in prayer. No, I believe all those disciples, they pray in one heart. They don't condemn each other. They just say, Lord, we follow your instruction. We are here. We wait. And praise the Lord. It increased to 120 people. And they pray for 10 days. Only 10 days on the day of the Pentecost. It's a major festival, major Jewish festival. And on that day, the Holy Spirit came, and we can, let's read together what the some phenomenon about the book Acts chapter 1. Okay, let's arise and read together. Let's arise. I want you to be alert so you won't fall asleep. Okay, let's read. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. So that seemed to be tongues of fire. Okay, you may be seated. So they prayed for 10 days, and the Holy Spirit came. Holy Spirit is so real. It's not something in your imagination or some, oh, I feel that you don't feel it. No, it's so real, right? Did you see the sign? When the Holy Spirit came from heaven like a violent wind. Not too long ago, there was an earthquake epicenters nearby Napa. How many of you felt that? It's at 3:20 in the morning. Maybe something like that. When the Holy Spirit came to that day, there's a violent wind, the whole house like a moon, and there was a sound. So you cannot miss it. Amen? It's not something in imagination. I won't tell you, it's very real. Sometimes scare you. God is powerful. We need to have the fear of the Lord, reverence for God. Amen? This nation lack of reverence for God. They think God is Mr. Nice Guy, you can do whatever, you know. Santa Claus, just always ask gift. No, that's not a God, Bible say. Bible portray God as righteous and loving. So Holy Spirit came that day. The whole house moved. The Bible say he filled the whole place. Not only filled the whole place, he filled the 120 people, and they can see something. Not just sounds you can feel, then visually you can see like tongues, shape, fire fell upon 120's head. They can show that. And then they start to speak foreign language. They start to speak Shanghainese, Mandarin. No, I just give illustration. Bible didn't say that. They start to speak the major language under the sun. And that day, in that season, the God-fearing Jews came from all over the world to me in Jerusalem to celebrate the festival, Pentecost, and all the festivals. So they, since they heard the song, they came together to see, what's this? They are Galileans. What the world, they start to speak Mandarin, Shanghainese, English, German. No, the Bible didn't say that, but that would be more contemporary. So they were puzzled. The Bible said they were amazed and perplexed. Can someone help me? What does perplexed mean? Confused. Will you be confused? You meet someone, you know this person from another nation. He doesn't know that your language. But because some weird phenomenon happened, he started to speak your language. As a matter of fact, I saw a clip last night. It says an Australian guy got into coma. And then he wake up and he can start to speak perfect Mandarin. Okay? If you're interested, I can send you that clip. I was puzzled with that. I don't understand. I don't have much time. I had to prepare my sermon. I just took a glimpse. I said, wow. So those Galileans, they started to speak all kinds of language. Not only that, they were declaring God's glory. Praise God. Because those are God-fearing Jews, right? They came from all over the world. They said, wow, they praise God in our language. So what's that? They were so puzzled. So they just explained they got drunk. They were filled with wine. They are partially right. They were filled with wine, but not that kind of wine from the Napa Valley. You know, it's the different wine. So they were very puzzled. And Apostle Peter, along with 11 apostles, they stood out together, and Apostle Peter to give the explanation about that. He said, hey, buddies, it's only 9 a.m. It's not happy hour to drink wine. They are not filled with wine. They're filled with another kind. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. So they invite them to think about the book of Joel. We can, by any chance, if we have that scripture, we can read. I don't know, do you have it? Verse 16, no, this is what is spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see vision. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servant, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. So Apostle Peter explained to them, say this, not because they were drunk. This is because a special phenomenon. To signify we enter a new age that called the last days. A lot of people say, now we are in the last days. I will say, we are already in the last day for 2,000 years. It's a long dispensation. Because the prophet Joel already said that. In the last days, when you see the Holy Spirit come and this phenomenon, that's the last days. Also, we enter an age, an era of the Holy Spirit. That's why the people say, they give the name of the book of Acts, also the book of the Acts of the Holy Spirit. It's recorded. So that's why that supernatural sign, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They start to speak other language. So Apostle Peter started to explain to them. As a matter of fact, you go to read the scripture here, the explanation was very short. Very short. You can read it. Maybe less than 2 minutes. But what was the outcome? What Apostle Peter tried to do is he tried to explain, say, connect this to Jesus is the Lord, is Messiah. Because Jesus has accomplished, so we enter to this new era. You need to believe in him. So what's the outcome? The outcome was the people ask Peter, say, and the older apostles say, what should we do? What can we do? The Bible says that the message pierced their heart. They were so convicted about they crucified Christ. They're so convict about their life. So they ask Peter and all apostles, say, what should we do? Isn't that wonderful? That's the difference from Peter's message and my message. When I preach too long, people ask in their heart, when can I go? When can I leave? It's not only me. Nowadays, in the all American churches, you cannot preach too long. People will say, when can I leave, Pastor Joseph? Already 10:35. When Peter gave a message, they ask, what shall I do? And Peter say, very simple, repent, receive Jesus, believe in him, and also you will receive the Holy Spirit. And Peter say, this message is not only for you only, for those far away, that's for you and me. Because it's recorded in the Bible. Amen? Every time I read the scripture, this, we have limited time. I have to conclude very soon. I encourage you, go home to read it. Acts chapter 1, chapter, you read it. Open your heart with a repentant heart. Say, Holy Spirit, show me about your work. He's going to touch you. When Apostle Peter told them that, the Bible say, not only that message, he say, he explained to them, exhorted them with many words. So you need to walk in the purity, save you from this corrupt generation. He warned them. And the Bible says there were 3,000 believe and baptized in that day. I thought, originally I wrote my sermon in a few days. No, Bible says in that day, one day. Wow. It's 9 a.m., right? That happened. So they all came together. Bible commentators said there may be 5,000 to 10,000 came together. Surround there, the 3,000 received Jesus. They only had 120 people. And to baptize 3,000, how long do you think it takes? They were very efficient, though. Let's say that those people received Jesus by noon. After Apostle Peter and the 11th apostle give them the follow-up. Oh, you really want to believe? Okay, we have follow-up class. By noon, already, everybody already understand. Then they need to start to baptize them. 3,000. And the Bible says, in that day, the Lord added 3,000 to them. Is that amazing outcome? I share with my wife. I say, we really lack of the reality of power, Holy Spirit. We talk to people, share to people again and again. People don't turn to the Lord. They just remain the same. But Apostle Peter gave the explanation. I really mean it. Let's look at this scientifically. Apostle Peter, they were filled with the Spirit. You know, they start to speak Shanghainese, Mandarin, all in other language to declare God's glory. And the people came together and asked, what's this mean? And he just explained. I think his message is very short. You look at Bible, maybe 5 minutes. And the people feel so convict. What's the difference? Because Peter and all those 120, they were filled with the Spirit. They were baptized by the Spirit according to Jesus' command and promise. And they believe it, and they took it, and that's the result. Amen? Do you agree? We are not there. But now we see the inside. Did you see the inside? I'm very convicted. I ask many people pray for me for today's message because I'm not worthy to give this message. I don't have that power. If I have, all of you are crying right now. And you ask me, Pastor Joseph, what shall I do? No, I can see some of you say, hurry up, already 10:38. We have a Holy Communion. I'm not kidding. You want the reality of power of Holy Spirit? You need to spend time. You need to sacrifice. You cannot be so hurry. I understand the time. It's okay. Second service, I'm the speaker too. They have to wait. But I'm trying to challenge you, invite you. We go together. How about that? The lesson for this is number one. Now we need to see the lesson. Filling with the Holy Spirit is essential to a Christian life. It's not optional. It's essential. Hear what I say. You need this. Without this, you cannot have a normal Christian life. You know, the amazing outcome with that arrival of the Holy Spirit was not only 3,120 people became a new church, but it's a healthy church. It's a quality church. I'm going to speak that next Sunday to experience the reality of the power of the Holy Spirit. That church, the Lord, people are so happy there. People share everything. Nobody in needy. They love each other, but not just love and love. They have sign and wonder. People have the sense of awe. They fear of the Lord. They dare not to sin. A real community. And people join them were very happy. And God add people to them daily. Now they have baptism every day. Isn't that powerful? How many of you want that kind of church? You know, this church building is very small. From the day one I came, because it's too small. If the Lord really brings people, we need to knock down the wall, continue. But that's not the point. The point is, do you and I have the reality of the power of the Holy Spirit? You say, why do I need that power? You need that power in order you can overcome temptation. You need that power in order you can be positive, even in the most negative condition. You won't lose heart. You have that power, you can say no to the wrong thing. You dare to share gospel. You are joyful in suffering. You know, the believer on earth, the Christian on earth right now suffer a lot. Do you know that? The Christian in Iraq, Afghanistan, in the Arab world, they've been cut off the head, been crucified. Christians like you and me. In Africa, they die for their faith. I'm not trying to intimidate you, but how can they do that? Because they have the power of the Spirit. They know Jesus is real, right? Dear brother and sister, you only can die for things of someone who is real. You cannot die for a theory. Amen? Nobody will die for a theory. You only die and sacrifice for a real person who really loves you, who really died for you, who really resurrect, who is really coming back. Only Holy Spirit can do that. Filled with the Spirit, Holy Spirit is essential, is required. You and I need that. Secondly, obedience and trust is a prerequisite to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You hear my message today, you say, oh, okay. Yeah, it's nice. He's funny and move on. You won't get it. What do you think if those disciples, they heard Jesus' command within that 40 days, they were convinced Jesus really resurrected from the dead. They heard Jesus say, you don't leave Jerusalem. Wait for my Father's promise. If they didn't listen to that, they didn't obey that, there's no church, right? It's all gone. Today you hear my message. Say, yes, Joseph, I want it. Okay, that's number three. I assume all of you want it. I have confidence. Number three. As a church, let's pursue the reality of being filled with the Holy Spirit and experience the power of the Holy Spirit. How can we do that? There's several steps. Number one is the desire. You need to desire. Say, yes. Why do you want the Holy Spirit, the reality? Because you want Jesus so real to you. Amen? How many of you want Jesus so real? I told you, you cannot live and die for someone who is not real to you. You cannot always just listen from the pastor Joseph's lips, cell group leader lips. You need to experience yourself. Say, Jesus really healed me. He exalted me. He confronted me. He loved me. He need to be real. Otherwise, you cannot overcome temptation. Because why you are tempted by things? Because those things are so real to you. Amen? Why we always say, do not love the world? Because the world is so real. Jesus is not real. Do you know? China Village, spicy Sichuan cuisine. I love it because it's so real. When you eat it, it's a sensation in your mouth. When you talk about Jesus, so unreal. Jesus. Still sin, still fall into temptation. He's not real. But how can you be real? You need the Holy Spirit. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. How can you be filled with the Holy Spirit? Number one, you need to desire. Amen? There's a perfume name called desire, right? Or something else called desire. You need to desire to be filled. Number two, you need to cleanse. You need to ask the Lord to forgive your sin, cleanse you, because if we are not holy, how can the Holy Spirit to fill you? Amen? Number three, you need to surrender. The Holy Spirit coming. We all have the Holy Spirit, some of the Holy Spirit in us, but not in the every room. We are stubborn. There's some area we don't allow Him to touch. Amen? Number four, you had to ask, you had to pray. I encourage you for this 40 days. We still have 23 days. You can seek the Holy Spirit to fill you. Finally, you receive him by faith. You don't compare. Some people, when they receive, filled with the Spirit, they have a very dramatic expression. You don't have to compare. Because the Bible says, do not get drunk. Do not get filled with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Now we have to proceed our Holy Communion. We still live in the time frame. No matter how I delay, I still have to conclude this message. Can we ask the kids to come now? We have the Holy Communion. Or they attend the second one, the children. We thank God. You know, every time I take the Holy Communion, I'm very excited. Because it reminds me Jesus is coming back. Amen? He didn't say, good luck, take care of yourself, complete the Great Commission, good luck. No. He said, if you go and make disciples of all nations, I'll be with you until the end of the world. Through the Holy Spirit. More than that, he's coming back. Amen? The question is, when you hear Jesus coming back, are you very, what kind of emotion? Let me ask you, what kind of emotion do you have? You think about the doctrine, the teaching, the reality, Jesus coming back. How many of you say, yeah, I'm so happy? Raise your hands. Okay, even for that response, there's some tricky part there. We have a picnic in Napa with the Cal College students. I ask them to share what they desire the most right now. One sister say, I desire most is to finish my college study. It's so hard for me. As a matter of fact, I wish Jesus come back today. But that motivation is not because they are happy to see Jesus. They just want to get over with the suffering. If we're really happy about Jesus come back, I want to tell you, when Jesus come back, there will be a wedding. Jesus is the bride. Christians is the groom. You're right. But the groom, I was wrong. Jesus is the groom. I'm sorry. We are the bride. Reverse. But he expects a pure, spotless bride. Because he himself is pure and spotless. Amen? So when we take this bread and cup, let's examine ourselves. We seek the Lord. Say, Lord, I want to be filled with you. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Reveal what part in my life I need to surrender to you. Reveal the sin, the hidden sin in my life. Please cleanse me. Amen? Next Sunday, even greater message yet to come. It's about real church filled with the real Holy Spirit. I invite you to come. Invite all the friends to come. I really mean it. That will be our goal for this church. Amen? We're going to take the bread and cup. If you have been baptized, line up and please come forward. Take bread and cup and back to your seat and stand there and examine yourself. Ask the Lord to forgive your sin and ask him to give you desire to be filled with the Spirit. So we come from the last row. Please come forward and line up and take the bread and cup. Please. We don't have time to wait. Yeah, please come. Toby. Before you take, you can pray right now. You can. We don't waste time. You can pray, ask the Lord. By the crimson stain upon your robe, with every nail, with every pounding blow, by every stripe and every bruise upon your back, I can hear you crying out. You say, Father, I desire that they would be, that they would be with me to see my glory. You took all my shame and my iniquity. For
the sake of freedom, you set me free.
When you go to your seat, please stand up. We spend time to give thanks for the bread and cup and examine our life. May the Lord cleanse us so we won't take this bread and cup, symbolize Jesus' body and blood in an unworthy manner. This is very serious. We have a 1 minute silent prayer. You pray for yourself. You ask the Lord to cleanse you to Lord Jesus, we thank you for your sacrificial love for each one of us. We thank you for this bread and cup. Remind who we are. We are children of God through your redemptive works. Lord Jesus, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, your promise, your command. We ask you to enlighten us within this 40 days, only 23 days left. You enlighten us to see what's the hindrances, why we are so apathetic toward reality of spirit, don't have much passion for you, lack hunger for spiritual things. May you reveal. Holy Spirit, you come. You enlighten us so we will repent. It's not just us one time. It's an attitude, a position before God. Lord, because you save my people who call by my name, if they humble themselves. Lord, this statement, if they humble themselves, is such a profound statement. What does that mean to humble ourselves? I pray you teach this congregation to know that in the days to come. May you forgive our sins to offend you, offend people. May you cleanse us so we will take this bread and cup in a worthy manner, not lightly. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. This bread represents Jesus' body being sacrificed for each one of us. Through his brokenness, we can be healed. We can become whole. Let's take this with a thankful heart. This cup referred to the blood Jesus shed for each one of us. Through his blood, we can be cleansed, being sanctified. Let's take this cup with thankful heart. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead. We invite him to come, to work in this church, to transform this church, to be like the church in the book of Acts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. If you want to know more about the reality, you can stay in the next room. Robert Scott, Pastor Robert, can help you, share with you. You want him to pray for you, I invite him today. So feel free to stay next room. Thank you. God bless.